chat about.
Go jump in a Great Lake 200.
On November 10th, 1975, the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in this largest lake in the Western Hemisphere. Kevin,
what is Superior?
Yep.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Now I have an AT-40 Extra, a number two smash called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the song in which singer Gordon Lightfoot told the true story of 29 men who drowned in a storm on Lake Superior back in 1975.
Joining me now on Out of the Talk Radio is the rector of the Mariners Church in Detroit, Father Rich Ingalls. Tell us about the church and how it inspired Gordon Lightfoot to write the song. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
And now...
You're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald freak.
Our feature presentation.
Really?
It's our yearly tribute to the brave men of the Edmund Fitzgerald who went down on this date in 1975, Kevin. Come on. That's why you're back. That's why you came back today.
We don't do a yearly tribute.
We never have.
And B, this is the only song that Bean is fully obsessed with, and basically it's a ship that sank and everyone died in a lake.
It's my favorite song of all time.
And it's the worst song of all time.
How dare you.
That's it. You've heard it all. And then they do that for like 10 minutes.
Well, why don't you try to write one and see if you can sell a billion copies too then. How dare you? The Edmund Fitzgerald is my favorite holiday of the whole year.
It's not a holiday. It is a holiday. Who says it's a holiday? Is it a holiday something you celebrate?
I celebrate.
Because everyone died?
No, just because of my interest in that event in history. But I get a cake every year that has little Edmund Fitzgerald people on it and whatnot, and candles, and we watch a video on the mystery of the wreck. I mean, we have a big time at my house on November 10th.
Your wife must just be miserable.
She actually has, in recent years, been skipping out. She's made that a night away. But for a long time, she participated. Now she's over it.
It sounds like the audio that you're playing is from 1975, and they haven't updated it since because they don't care.
Because there's nothing to update.
Right.
What do you update? They're still dead.
I'm saying the sound of it is like it's all scratchy. It sounds like they did it on one of those...
Here's a song.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Well, that guy does a nautical radio show. I mean, I don't know how high tech it is, but I'm just
a nautical radio show.
Nobody does a nautical radio show.
He does. That's what he does. It's very. It's a big. By the way, you may not remember this. I'm not even saying anything. By the way,
fantastic.
You might not remember this, but a couple of years ago, I went up to Whitefish Point, where the Coast Guard station is, where the lighthouse was, where they were trying to get to the night they crashed, and I actually stayed there in the Coast Guard quarters and enjoyed myself there. And I mean, enjoyed myself there because it was a pretty big deal for me. So I love this time of year. It's the most wonderful time of the year, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
All right, let me switch gears. I know we have a very full show, but you're going to love this so much, Kevin. You hate the politics, and you're not following any of the Republican candidates. Because, let's face it, the election is still a year away. All you know about the Republican candidates at this point is that the black guy gropes white women. That's the extent of what you've learned so far based on watching the news, right?
I know that Obama shouldn't win another election, but the Republicans don't have anyone that is even close to beating him. That's my feeling.
Rick Perry, for a while, was the undisputed front runner in the Republican candidates of the Republican candidates running for office this year. Then Mitt Romney, maybe for a while. Herman Cain has been the most popular for a while, but now he's got his own struggles. But they had another one of those debates last night where they all get together and nobody watches. It was on CNBC, and it's been called one of the greatest meltdowns in presidential debate history.
Oh, I like it.
And that's why I think that you'll love what happened to Rick Perry last night, where he was trying to talk about an issue, and he had three items on his list that he needed to come up with. And you'll appreciate this, Kevin. Mr. Perry could only come up with two.
that's my curse.
Now he is it's swinging in the wind at this point. He's just standing there just praying that he can come up with the answer.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the what's the third one there? Let's see.
God. Now, tell me what's going through his head right now, Kevin. You've been there.
Nothing. Just white snow. There's not like he's choosing from a bunch of words or anything. There are no words coming to his mind.
So Ron Paul, who's standing next to him up there, is trying to help him out by offering suggestions, trying to throw him a life raft.
Five. Okay. So commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go.
So they throw EPA at him, but that's not what he's looking for. But he just says it because he's trying to buy time so he can come up with the other agency he's trying to think of.
Okay.
Let's talk deposition.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We're talking about the...
That's the moderator just, nailing him on it. It wasn't EPA. So it's 30 seconds in now. He still hasn't come up with it.
Agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no
can't,
doubt about
but you
that.
Can't name the third one?
The third agency of government. Yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry.
That's the best.
And
did he say oops?
He said oops. That's the best part of the whole thing. That's the soundbite of the night.
Oops.
Oops. Once you say oops, once you're the guy on the white hot spotlight on the stage and you melt down like that and you're out is oops, you're basically saying I'm not going to be president, right?
Well, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
This isn't me, man. This is Governor Perry from Texas.
Can't he say line? I mean, line. Doesn't he have somebody sitting there, an aide or somebody that's sitting there with his notes?
Look, I felt bad for the guy. It's happened to everybody, and it doesn't mean he's not a viable candidate or potentially good president. I don't know, but it is pretty funny to see a guy with that much pressure on him, and that's why they have so many debates. They're just trying to look for flaws, trying to weed people out, trying to find out who's a serious candidate, who's not.
It's funny because there are very few situations like that one where everybody wants him to fail miserably. No one helps. they pounce on it. Yeah. I'm sorry, what's the third? Was that the third? You didn't mean that, did you? What's the third? And this show. That's it. Those are the only places where you're told the rule is don't help someone because it's funnier.
And Ron Paul, being a nice guy, he's doing everything he can to help, but everybody else is just loving it. They're laughing on the inside at poor Governor Perry.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah.
So he's going to be our next president? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. Too early to tell.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, we had 8 years, and I'm not talking about policies. I'm just talking about speech givers. Remember Bush and all the fun times he gave us with all the stuff he said? We need Rick Perry for that.
Maybe.
And the third one is, oops.
Look it up.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Ain't going to happen.
Is going to happen. Going to talk to Dana White today about UFC on Fox. A big fight on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait. It's Junior Dos Santos and that other fighter. Oops. Velasquez. Yeah. Oops. We're also going to give away tickets to our screening of Twilight, which is very exciting.
Yep. Don't roll your eyes. It is exciting.
No. Hey, some stuff's for off the air, Lisa. It's a world premiere of Twilight. We also have, we're going to try and find the oldest virgin. We do this from time to time. And I don't know how this came up, but my rule generally is it can't be religious. It can't be a religious reason.
You have to be trying.
Yes.
There is a new show that is getting ready to debut on TLC. And by the way, Kevin, Ralph reminded us yesterday, this is the show that our friend Nick, the window licker, was supposed to be on back when it was an MTV show. MTV shot it, some of it anyway, never aired it. TLC picked it up, and they are doing a show where it's a reality show where you follow these virgins around and find out what they're doing wrong.
So these are people that are actively trying to not be in that category.
Yes, some of them are trying to find a husband first. That is part of it.
Right.
But they are all virgins and actively looking for someone to have sex with, and it's their journey. So we thought, and these people are in their 20s and 30s. We thought it might be interesting to find out who in our audience is in that same boat and what that must be like living in this sexualized world.
It's a pretty crappy boat. I'll tell you that. I hope it goes down and they'll die.
Well, that would be a start.
There's also an airline that started to show porn.
Now
I'm
in. That?
Now we're getting somewhere.
No kidding.
Now flying's not quite so bad.
I don't know if they're going to, they're discussing it right now. I can't imagine anyone's going to let this happen now.
Come on, man. Go with it. Can you imagine how long it would take for a person to stand up and drop his drawers? First flight. That'd be awesome. Plus, we are going to talk about medical dispensaries and what's going on with that, which is all bad things.
It's very murky.
So it's getting murkier and murkier, right here.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
So we'll do that today as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. What? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 551.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from listener Maria. It's so fun to hear both Kevin and Bean on the radio again. It's like back in the 90s.
Well, how about that?
It's like, refreshing,
it's like Godzilla
right?
Theater.
I'm on vacation tomorrow. I hope that's cool.
Oh, you going back on? Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Ralph, Kevin, Kevin, Ralph, Kevin,
I'm not
Lisa,
familiar.
Lisa, Kevin, Beermug, Kevin, them. Kevin, Beermug. Yeah. All right. Ralph is here. It is time for the Showbiz Beat. And by the way, then coming up after the top of the hour, Lisa, we're going to meet the Marine. All he wanted was a couple of hours of your time to go to the Marine Corps ball with him. You said no.
No, too busy to help the armed services.
I am a very busy person.
You are, I know.
You are, in your defense, you're very busy.
Very, very busy.
You got that, that wonky
sweaters
dog of yours.
Dog?
You got a dog that needs an amputation. You got a lot of stuff going on with that, with your life.
Well, he is in the building now, and he's going to come in, and he's going to talk to your Al-Qaeda-loving ass right after the top of the hour. But first, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat.
Hope he frags her. All I ask. Speaking of which, real quick mention, congratulations to the United States Marine Corps. They celebrate their birthday today.
Yay!
On this day, 235 years ago, the Marine Corps was established, so...
Thank God for them.
Hoorah and Semper Fi to all our listeners out there who serve us in the Corps. Great day yesterday, if you love comedy. Bill Keane, the guy who created the comic strip Family Circus, died of congestive heart failure at the age of 89.
I never read that, but you
had a... Oh, sweet Jesus.
It was terrible.
You had a special relationship with that particular comic.
The least funny comic strip in the history of the printed medium.
But it was around for 30 years or something.
Yes.
Wow.
It was... it's not your kind of comedy, Ralph. It was
because
extremely
it wasn't funny,
gentle.
Because there was no comedy?
Did you like it, Bean?
Who broke the vase?
It wasn't for me either.
Not me. And then behind him was a little ghost with a t-shirt that read "Not Me" on it, going, "Woo!"
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's
Billy,
pretty old
Billy,
school.
Where are you? I'm in the sandbox. And a little dotted line showing where all the places he trucked sand all through the house before he went to the sandbox.
And that guy made a living
every week.
Yeah.
F the Family Circus. Rest in peace, Bill.
But I will try.
Rest in peace, Bill. Charles Schulz once said, the author of the second least funny comic strip in the world.
Yeah, Peanuts Never Funny.
I think
either.
We share the same type of humor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think you do too, Charles Schulz, and I'm glad you're both dead.
None.
This is a nice story, because it shows that Ashton Kutcher's a moron. Of course, Joe Paterno was fired late last night by Penn State due to this hideous situation that's happening there regarding one of their coaches and the molestation of young boys that was, according to the information coming out, allegedly condoned and covered up by many people at Penn State University, perhaps even some of the officials there at State College, Pennsylvania. So an ugly, ugly story. So they finally, the heat got to the university and they fired Joe Paterno yesterday, who had already announced he was going to retire at the end of the season. But he said, you know, I won't be back. And they said, yeah, well, you won't be back this. You won't be back tomorrow.
Starting now.
Yeah. So they fired him. So
you can watch the game against Nebraska on TV this weekend, Joe.
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher immediately hopped on Twitter.
Well, good.
And tweeted, how do you fire Joe Pa? Insult. No class. As a Hawkeye fan, I find it in poor taste. Well, everyone, every one of his 8.2 million Twitter followers responded with, you know, this whole thing with the molestation and the kids who were, you know, abused by one of the coaches, and Paterno knew about it and helped cover it up. And Ashton Kutcher was like, oh, no, I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, my God.
Was this in the news?
That's exactly what happened. He said, I really have been following the news lately.
Well,
had no idea.
Tweet.
Thought it was a football thing, he tweeted.
He just thought they got tired of Paterno's BS after 62 years.
Yeah, right. Had no idea. It started the tweet.
Wow.
He admitted he didn't have the full story when he sent out that tweet.
And by the full story, he means any of it.
And then he pledged afterwards to stop tweeting until I find a way to properly manage this feed, he said.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's a dumbass.
It's a good life for all of us. He stopped tweeting. But I thought it was so funny. Because immediately when he tweeted that, the Twitterverse just blew up all over his ass, which was very entertaining. You know, I was reading a piece of text last night, Ashley, and the author said that sometimes idiot douchebags who have access to the media, sometimes the cost of printing... Oh, no.
As it pertained or as it related to the cost of printing literature.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the early days of printing literature, and the cost threshold was extraordinarily high.
Yeah. Maybe less time at the cost threshold and maybe a little more time with Joe Paterno.
Turns out the douchebag threshold on Twitter is incredibly low, and so almost anyone can make an ass of themselves.
It's not hard to turn on ESPN either.
No, it's not. Hey, look, you don't have to follow ESPN to get this story.
I knew this story. Right. You know, I am anti-sports.
This is everywhere. Rough week for Brett Ratner, too.
Yeah.
He, of course, was forced to step down as producer of the Oscars because of several comments that he made in the media in the past week or so. And then they said Eddie Murphy, who was going to be the host of the Oscars that he produced, was going to stick around until yesterday. Eddie said, I'm not going to host without Brett Ratner. So now the Oscars are stuck with no producer and no host.
Yeah. We had this discussion yesterday, Ralph. Remember wondering whether Eddie would want to continue on without his buddy there.
But the void was filled by Brian Grazer. Producer Brian Grazer stepped up and said, oh, I'll produce the Oscars. No worries. He, of course, half of Imagine Entertainment, which is the production company that he started with Ron Howard many years ago. He's produced a ton of successful films. Very talented guy. Much better than Brett Ratner.
Hopefully step up.
It'll be a better show. And who knows who he'll get to host because he's got a ton of showbiz friends.
I'm disappointed that we're not going to get the opportunity to see Eddie Murphy host the Oscars, though. I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, maybe next year.
No.
No, probably not. No word on who would host this year. But here's the thing. Brian Grazer, very close friends with Tom Hanks.
That's what has.
And I was thinking Hanks would be a great host on that show.
Good choice.
He's funny. He's personable. Everybody loves him. He's not nominated for anything this year, so it wouldn't be any sort of conflict of interest. I
great
think he'd be very
comedic delivery.
Yeah. So, if you're listening, Brian Grazer, Tom Hanks.
I want you to get the credit for that if that ends up happening. You're the first person I've heard put that name forward.
All right.
I did yesterday.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did. I just said it to a friend.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm also putting my name in the hat, too. If they want to pick me up, I'd be happy to host. Some people want the Muppets to host.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
There is a Facebook page and a Twitter account. If you go to Muppets Oscars, you can find their Twitter account. But they're trying to get Miss Piggy and company to host the Oscars. Now, here's the thing. It could happen.
What?
Muppets host the Oscars, which is going to be on ABC. Which Disney owns both the Muppets and ABC, and they've got a big movie coming out.
True.
You're dead to me.
They are trying to rebrand the Muppets, so we'll have to wait and see.
You know who else would do a great job? He won't get the job right now, but is our little friend Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
Kimmel would do
a good job. And he's on ABC, too.
Yep.
Right. Maybe there's some synergy there that could happen. And you know I love the collectibles, so if you guys are looking for something for Christmas for me, this may be the thing. Anybody want the Michael Jackson deathbed?
Oh, really? They're putting that up for sale?
The bed where Michael Jackson took his last breath is for sale.
That's a nasty bed, right?
Who's with me?
Julian's Auctions says it's just one item in the house at 100 North Carrollwood Drive. That was Michael's home in Los Angeles. That's up for auction. That was his temporary home, and everything inside it is up for grabs. It was his home while he rehearsed for the This Is It concert tour, and he made it his own by loading up his house with his personal furniture, paintings, sculptures, other bits of decor. So everything is up for auction.
The auction. How do I think about Michael Jackson's bed?
December 17th in Beverly Hills. That's when the auction will start. So if you want the deathbed, it's available.
Not interested.
Is it the bed that eats? Or is it bed that kills?
What
is
bed that kills? Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays: Russell Johnson.
Yeah!
The professor from Gilligan's Island is still alive.
He is?
He is 87 years young today.
Remember how old he was the last time we had him on, and that was many years ago.
I just love the story of Kevin driving him from the airport.
I picked him up at the airport, yeah.
You did?
It was one of the weirdest things in my life.
Driving with the professor.
Hey, professor from Gilligan's Island.
What was that chat like in the
how
car?
Are you? Well, what are old chats with me like? Sad.
You're a guy who I don't know who you are. The conversation started.
Yeah.
Kevin gave him a coconut, saying, can you make a radio out of this?
And then I tried to sell the car as the professor mobile. It didn't help.
Didn't
really go.
The eBay numbers didn't start rolling in?
No.
Actor-comedian Sinbad is 55 years old today.
Really?
Yeah.
Either of those, actor or comedian?
Actor-comedian Tommy Davidson from In Living Color is 48. Tracy Morgan
Yeah.
Celebrates his 43rd birthday. Ellen Pompeo. Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy. She is McLucy on that show. She's 42.
Dreamy.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
Jim Adkins of Jimmy Eat World is 36. Warren G is 41 years old today. Rapper Eve is 33. And that's all I'm going to do.
All right, good.
I'm looking at these other names, and I don't want to talk about those people.
Good enough.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Ladies and gentlemen, United States Marine Corps is celebrating a birthday today. Could not be better timing to welcome Mr. Greg Myhouse into the studio. Lance Corporal, how are you today? Welcome to the program, my friend.
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Very good. Thank you. Well, thank you for contacting us in the first place. The reason Greg is here, and I'm so happy that you are, is because you had a very simple request of Lisa May.
I did.
And she denied you. She basically spit in your face. She called you a baby killer, and she took a big, giant dump on the American flag. Am I right, Greg?
I don't know about that.
She did that off the air.
I brought the flag in the next day, yes, and I said, here's what I think of it.
Right.
That happened. You pooped on it, and then you burned it. But Greg contacted us a couple of months ago, back when it was all the rage with various celebrities who were being asked to the Marine Corps Ball. Now, tell me about the Marine Corps Ball. It's around this time of year, obviously, because of the anniversary, but there are a number of them over a period of a week or so, right?
Yes, it's to celebrate the birthday of the Marine Corps.
Okay.
Which is today.
And it's a formal event. You guys get all dressed up, and it's a couples thing that you go and you have a big a dinner and dance or whatever?
Yes, sir. It's a ceremony. They have a cake-cutting ceremony, a message from the commandant, and a guest speaker. That's normally how it works. Each unit has their own ball, and ours was great.
And how many ladies did you ask to the ball before you realized, I'm going alone if I don't find someone? I got to contact some chick on the radio I don't know.
Well, I had one lined up. I mean, she was a friend. She's just kind of turned out to be crazy, so.
Wow. Well, is she a woman?
Tell us her name.
Then yes, she turned out to be crazy.
Don't want to say her name.
Are you positive it's not because you're a ginger? Are you sure of that?
Pretty sure.
All right. I'm just asking.
All right, so you crafted your email, if I recall, to Lisa, and what were you thinking when you did that? Why did you think that might work?
Well, I knew Lisa was a nice lady. I knew she did a lot for the armed services.
Let's talk in past tense. You thought
I
she was
thought
a nice
she
lady.
Was. Yeah.
Then I started working here, and you guys have been beating it out of me.
That's true.
Lisa, I.
Okay, so you emailed her, and you said, I'd like you to come with me to the Marine Corps Ball.
Exactly.
And she said, ha!
She quickly said no, which was kind of a disappointment.
Well, she had a Taliban meeting that night, if I recall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a disappointment to all of us, by the way. I'm not kidding. Like, we all thought, like, that's a slam dunk, of course. Sure, no problem. And she's like, no.
Well, it's an honor to be asked. That's why. Like, who would turn down an honor like that to be able to go to the Marine Corps Ball with a soldier, right?
I am very busy. You guys know how busy I am.
You are busy.
Yeah. Very busy.
All right. So we called you, if I recall correctly, and it's been some time now, we called you and we said, Lisa's a communist. She won't help you, but we'd like to do something for you. And Lisa, I believe at this point, in all fairness, I believe you also reached out a hand and tried to find some people who could find a different date for Greg, right?
Yeah, actually, before you guys did anything, I got an email listener named. Yeah,
we didn't turn down the Marine Corps.
You did zero.
We didn't ask to do anything.
My
no
idea originally was to go on to Twitter and get him some great hot date, and actually several women immediately offered. But then a listener of ours named Jason Jepson emailed me. He emails often and said that he knew Dennis Winant, who is On Point Energy in San Diego, who is a former Marine. He and another Marine started this business, and they love helping out the Marines.
But what about?
And I'm pretty good with the penises.
What about that?
They are going to help him out and give him a fabulous evening. So they got to work on it.
Right.
And we can let Greg tell us what happened.
Okay, Greg, what happened?
Oh, yeah. I want to thank Jeremy from On Point Energy and Wings Limo Service. They got me... with the help of Lisa, got me a beautiful Miss Vanessa Goodmanson, who was a Playboy model, I believe, April 2011.
All right.
Yeah, I mean...
Uh-huh. I love you, Lisa, but step up.
Come on.
She was no Lisa May, but...
maybe she lacked in personality a little. I don't know her, but I'm telling you, she looked good.
Yeah.
She was great.
She looked more than good,
yes,
by the way.
She's
one of the hottest chicks I've ever seen in my life. Now, tell me
Can
this.
I ask you a question? Why do we have Greg in?
We should be
pictures?
Hearing Vanessa's version of the story.
Right?
They have the pictures now.
So, Greg, when did you find out that you were going with a Playboy playmate? And how did you find out?
I saw Lisa's tweet first, I think, and then I got...
Or she said, hate America, can anyone help?
Yeah, after that one, I got an email from Jeremy from On Point Energy, and he told me who I was going with, quickly looked her up, and...
You looked her up! I Googled
and you approved.
And I approved, yeah.
All right, I guess.
So you got picked up by a limo from the OC, taken to San Diego. You had a photographer with you all night. Love to see some of those pictures, by the way. How did it go with Vanessa? I mean, was it kind of awkward in that you didn't know each other, or did you guys have enough to talk about?
It was enough to talk about. I had...
I had her to talk about.
She was really nice. I brought a buddy, fellow Marine, and his date. So, you know, I mean, we had a fun time in the limo.
Bet you did. Look at her.
Yeah, look at her.
You know what I'm saying?
Get
she
off
was great.
My ass she and look great. At her. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, we had a fun time. You know, she's a down to earth person, really nice. You know, it couldn't have been a better night. It was great.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean, obviously, we thank you, Vanessa, if you ever hear this, because it's awesome that you agreed to do this, and we're so happy because it's a way better deal than going with Lisa, let's
Absolutely.
Be honest. So, and then it's dinner and dancing. I mean, it's a whole evening, right?
Yeah, it's a ball, so everything you would think of at a ball. I mean, the dinner was great. There's the ceremony, which is the cake-cutting ceremony. It's they have the oldest and youngest Marine, where they kind of pass the torch from... You know, the oldest Marine to the youngest Marine. And then
that's very cool.
A message from the Commandant.
How old's the oldest Marine these days?
I don't want to say his name, but, you know, he's up there. I don't know. It's in the unit, so he was, you know, in his 50s or something.
Oh, I got you. Okay. And now, will you see Vanessa again, or is this she couldn't wait to get rid of you either?
No, she's got my number. She'll be calling.
Yeah.
Which is magic.
Yeah.
It's hard to resist a guy in a uniform too, by the way. You guys wear the best outfit you have, the dressiest uniform there is, right?
For the ball, yeah, we wear the dress blues.
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be hard for Vanessa to not want some more of that.
Impossible.
I guess. Impossible.
I like it.
So all in all, although it started with heartbreak, it did end up being a successful evening and a fun time, and you're happy.
Yeah, you know, I got to come up here today and meet Lisa May, and, you know, Vanessa was great, but damn, Lisa May.
Oh, he's so sweet.
Wow. Look at that.
But tell me he's not, like, the hero.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I
was
he
the envy of a lot of people down there.
Showing up with
he
that
has
girl.
To answer that.
Did you?
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like,
I mean, no one
everyone,
know who
wanted,
I was.
Everyone wanted to meet her down at the ball. But, you know, I did a lot of preparation to make sure nothing crazy happened. Make sure because I told way too many people, you know, beforehand.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a mistake. But actually, everyone was really cool, really respectful.
That's
good.
She was really
that's
nice
good.
To everyone. She, you know, did she you, understood.
Did you get access to those? Can you see that monitor over there? Did you get access?
They were really respectful. What are you doing?
Was access granted?
What?
All right.
He had a fun night.
Just asking.
That's all we need to know. We'll hear that off air. Well, listen, Lance Corporal My House, it's awesome that you contacted us. We apologize for our communist friend Lisa May, but we're happy it all worked out for you. It's great to meet you in person, and happy anniversary to you and all the guys in the Corps, all right?
Thank you very much. You were all.
The president of the UFC, Dana White, joins us later on today's all-new Kevin DeBean show. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to tell you about the airline in Ireland that is getting ready to offer porn to its passengers while they fly.
What could go wrong there?
I can't see a problem with that. That'll be discussed here coming up on the Kevin DeBean show. First, though, the Afro line is on the air. You call us 24/7. We play you back on the radio, 323-520-AFRO. That's our number.
Hey, when's this going to be the Kevin and Bean show? All I hear is Kevin or Bean. When Bean's out there, there's nobody to translate what Kevin is saying. And when Kevin's not there, there's no one to shut Bean the hell up.
That's true.
I got to tell you, we don't like each other. And so we try to work when the other one's not working, in general.
I enjoy the 6 months a year off, to be honest.
We did a game a couple of weeks ago called Famous Deads. And Dead was in the answer to everything, and Ralph and I went over the top. We said, yes, Dead. So the answer involves the word dead. The word is dead. Dead is in the answer. And then we did a big thing about why are we making such a big deal out of it, because people don't listen, and the first answer was AC/DC. And it shocked us.
AC/DC.
It was one of the best things that ever happened.
We may have missed the point of the game.
We explained Famous Deads. We explained that Dead was in the answer, I don't know, for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And then she came with AC/DC. Here's one for you, Lisa.
Yo, what's up, Lisa May?
What's a guy got to do to stuff you like a turkey, girl? Yeah.
You get a variation of that. More creative than that.
You get a variation of that call every single November, don't you?
Pretty much.
Although I think the first half was not a good delivery, but the yeah.
Not bad.
Pretty strong.
Thanksgiving!
Nope.
So many things are going to happen.
Turkey!
Nope. Nope.
Dean, I try to like you. I really do.
See, now this girl is giving it a real effort.
Okay, what's going on here? She tries to like me. What's her problem?
She doesn't dislike you. She wants to like. She's on your side.
Okay.
And you make it so hard. Could you just... keep talking. Shut up, Dean.
I'm on a radio show. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know, but we hear that a lot. I'm just saying.
Tonight's the night. Concert of the year. Gordon Atwood at the UCLA. Woo-hoo! I'm going to see you, Dean. I'm going to go down to the UCLA concert and watch. Everybody get drunk. Come on, baby, and let's go down there and listen to the music of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
That's as good as the original song right there.
How drunk is that guy?
That's about it. That's exactly what it is, unfortunately.
So I just saw those Miss Double December picks. Or at least I saw them about an hour ago. Now I'd just like to inform you that, like, my right arm can now lift 290 pounds. Left arm, still pretty weak. Still only at about 40 pounds.
This would be an outstanding opportunity once again, Kevin. While you were gone, we did roll out Miss Double December 2012 entry on KROQ.com or KevinAmin.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It certainly is. You can go, ladies, if you are 21 and up and would like to be Miss Double December 2012, wear the crown, get to come to all the Kevin and Bean events and the Weenie Rose, the Acoustic Christmas and all that stuff. You can enter now till a week from tomorrow. So get on over to KROQ.com and do it.
Look at Miss Double December eating on
ice
cream.
I know, right?
Cone. What's up with that? Is this the year we finally make the decision to not kick out the old Miss Double Decembers but just add one?
It's not the worst idea I've ever
had. The worst idea. It's going to be tough for us to see Christine go, I'll tell you that.
I was just listening to the podcast, and you guys played the best thing I ever heard in my life, which was Kevin at the Grammys, but you only played half of it. Can I get the whole thing? It's amazing all the way through. Go on.
No.
It's my favorite.
Oh, it is one of the best things that ever happened. No, we cannot play the whole thing because Kevin did magic for 3 hours that night on CBS. But here's a few more highlights you haven't heard of him in the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yes, sure enough it is.
I love it, Randolph.
I don't know these ladies people. And gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John? What the hell?
So then I tried it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph.
Shit.
Yeah. This doesn't sound real.
I know.
That's why I had him put it on the CD for me.
I said, the guys will never believe this. You have to put this on the CD.
This is why they have rehearsals.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
I love the lady in the booth who's like, Rudolph.
She's a professional. You can tell she's a professional, and she's tired of dealing with me.
Right.
And finally.
Beer Mug, you're such a douche. You have the greatest opportunity in the world of radio, and you all over it.
Now, what happened while I was gone? I heard Muggs came through again.
Yes.
Muggs is perhaps the greatest red carpet interviewer ever. We sent him to the premiere of Harold and Kumar.
Beer Mug here at the red carpet premiere.
Huh?
That's how he started. And then here's an example of the question that he asked. And I think this is the guy who wrote the movie.
Let me ask you a question. You take an Asian guy and an Indian guy, marijuana, hilarity then ensues.
Is that a question?
That's his question, yes.
Okay.
I can't do justice in the time we have left to Beer Mug's Red Carpet interviews, but it was one of the best things I've ever heard in my life, and I urge you to go to KROQ.com and look it up, because you want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah! Good boy! 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
And if there's one thing you know about Kevin and Bean, it's that we're all about the Twilight. Man, we live and breathe this Twilight saga. Breaking Dawn Part 1 is coming out a week from Friday. You can see it on Monday at LA Live. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets on the red carpet with the stars coming up here on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about airlines and how they're having trouble these days making money. So some of them charge you for your bag. Some of them charge $25 a bag, $50 a bag, whatever it is. And there's one called Ryanair that has kind of an eccentric boss named Michael O'Leary, and he's got a couple of different ideas. He's thinking maybe they can make money by allowing people to gamble.
Really?
While they're in the air, play games, watch porn, you know, all the normal stuff that you do on an airline when you're taking a flight. What?
I'm sorry. Did I mishear? Did you say watch porn?
Yeah, that's one of the ideas. Sure. Yeah.
On a plane?
Uh-huh.
What about the kid sitting behind you who's got his face pressed up against between the seats looking at what you're looking at? What about that kid?
Free show? I'm guessing that kid's happier than anyone else.
That's probably true.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. I believe Ryanair is an Irish airline, a budget airline, but they're figuring out a way to make cash if some of this stuff goes through. And we're going to talk to the boss, Michael O'Leary, on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. O'Leary, welcome, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
So a pay-per-view pornography service for passengers on your planes in the air.
Yeah, it's one of our ideas. We think it's a pretty good one. People seem to respond well to it.
Uh-huh. Are you on a flight right now?
What's that?
Are you on a flight right now?
No, I'm just in my office here at the airport.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Right. So isn't there some concern that there may be other people sitting nearby the passenger who's paying for the porn that might be offended by the material? That can't be what we hoped would happen.
No, I think it went well. Hello?
That was, I think we're, we've been disconnected. Perhaps we can
what
call back.
What just happened with that? I just want to make sure we've been disconnected. Maybe we got transferred to the porn.
That could happen.
To the porn department.
Maybe so. Let's find out.
Yeah, I don't think so. Hello? Nope.
Well, all right. Kevin, well, we didn't have any of these problems with the phone, by the way.
That was working fine. That was not me. I didn't really touch anything. So anyway,
it's always you somehow.
He's talking about actually doing... letting people watch porn. How crazy is that?
I believe we've got Mr. O'Leary back.
All right. Let's check in with him. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, there you are.
We lost you for a second. I apologize.
That would never happen on Ryanair, I'll tell you that much. We'd be plummeting into the ocean if our equipment worked like yours did.
Well, yeah, true.
Good point. All right. So my question before we got so rudely interrupted, sir, was, aren't you worried that that might be offensive material, what one passenger chooses to view, could easily be seen by others sitting nearby?
Well, we're not talking about having it on screens in the back of seats or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on handheld devices for people, or you can download an app in the air strictly from Ryanair for use and looking on their handheld devices.
Oh, I see.
So your iPads, your phones, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because no one behind you can see your iPad.
Well, you have to be responsible with
it. I see. Okay.
But it's not like we're going to put it up on the big screen where we show the movies.
Okay. All right. What about this then? It seems to me, and this is a kind of an indelicate question to ask, but a lot of people aren't watching porn just for the entertainment. Sometimes there's something that goes along with that. Aren't you worried about that breaking
out
on the
plane? That's why God invented blankets.
Right.
Oh, no.
We'll be handing them out at the beginning of the flight, so everyone will have a blanket to cover their laps.
Oh.
Okay.
And but besides that, we're also offering our own line of X-rated films. We'll be making exclusive content just for Ryanair.
Oh, okay.
You're everything will be themed, you know, with flights and airports and travel.
Right.
So it's inappropriate to be watching it and put you in the mood.
So you're getting into the porn business
Absolutely. We've created a long line of films just for Ryanair. We've got a very successful film we're very proud of called Put Your Fluids in a Baggie.
Okay.
It's about the airport experience.
Sure.
Giving Her a Pat Down, but also very popular.
Right.
A film called Invading the No-Fly Zone.
Okay, good. I like it.
Feel Free to Move About Her Cabin. Also very popular.
Right.
Entering Restricted Airspace.
Oh, good.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Good.
A bird flew in her engine.
Really?
Her seat can be used as a flotation device.
Right.
The upright and locked position.
Sure.
Filling her overhead compartment. Also very popular.
I'm sensing a theme.
Sheila Services First Class.
Okay.
About one of our airline hostesses.
Good.
For the gay folks who come on the airlines, there's cruising altitude.
Right, sure.
For people who like transsexual porn, there's May I Check Your Bag. There's Airport Airplane Airtight, which is also very popular.
I like it.
But the one people seem to be responding most to is, how would you like to see the cockpit?
Is that the one? Yeah.
That's our most popular.
Hey, party people, all week long on K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets for Disneyland. We're talking about the Park Hopper passes, which means you get to go to Disneyland and Disneyland's California Adventure. Keep listening for a chance to win. You can also go over to krock.com and register to win online as well. We'll talk to a representative from Normal coming up after the top of the hour. What? What's so funny?
They're not normal at all. They're stoned.
All about the crazy quilt of laws that are going on in the state of California where it's legal, but then it's not legal. What's going on with pot dispensaries? It's a bloody mess.
No,
is what
no,
it is.
Go ahead. Go ahead and do it. Oh, we're going to arrest you. No, go ahead. No, we're going to arrest you. Seriously,
state
do it.
Versus federal, man. Oh. What about our sovereignty? What about our state's rights?
Yeah, what he said, that
yeah.
guy there.
I'm going to occupy a dispensary. I'll show them.
Me too. That's a good idea.
Occupy weed.
That's the
my
place
new
to,
movement.
That's the place to occupy.
Coming up next year on the Kevin DeBeat Show. First, though, Ruff's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Before I get to the beat, I want to talk about a little event we're doing next week at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. It is the K-Rock 10K Poker Play.
Yay!
Let me explain it to you. You sign up. You play poker.
Right.
You win the tournament, you win $10,000.
But it costs
zero!
Because a World Series of Poker costs $10,000 to get in.
Yeah. You know what the buy-in for our tournament is?
What?
Nothing! Yeah. Here's the thing. It's been so popular, the casino poker tournament that we're doing at San Manuel, that it's already loaded up. It's full up.
It is?
Full what? Up. No more no. seats available.
Well, thanks for bringing it up then,
a-hole. Well, the reason I bring it up is we still have some passes to give away. We still have some entries into the tournament that are at my table and at Kevin's table. We will be hosting the event on Thursday, November the 17th, and we're each going to start at a table. Now, eventually, Kevin and I will get to the final table, and we'll be battling head-to-head, I'm sure.
I don't know. The last time I played, it wasn't the last time, two times ago I played poker with you, I bluffed. And Ralph shouted, "He's bluffing! Somebody call him!"
Yeah, that was at the charity event we were doing.
They called me and I was bluffing.
And then the last time we did San Manuel Poker Tournament, I believe I knocked you out. I believe I knocked you out at the
that
table.
At all.
Yeah.
I remember me knocking you out.
No, I remember you being done first.
No?
Yeah, I do
no,
remember
I don't
that.
Think so.
Anyway, if you'd like to sit at my table or Kevin's table, we do have a pair of passes, and these are the last entries. This is the only place where you can get in if you want to play poker with us. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 17, since it's happening on November the 17th, will be sitting at my table. Caller number 18 will get a pair of passes to sit at Kevin's table. And we will see you there, Thursday, November 17th at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino.
Pretty cool event. I have a big tell. If you're at my table, I start my head starts just tweaking when I'm
wow.
Yeah. But here's the thing. His head is so massive, usually it's just his neck getting tired from holding it up, so no, it's hard to tell whether it's him giving you the high sign or whether his head is just going to roll off his shoulder.
That's true.
But I'm very pleased that we're already full up, that we're already capacity for the event. It's very exciting. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? The executors of Michael Jackson's estate have whipped off a strongly worded letter. They've pulled a page out of Bean's playbook.
Wow.
And they are upset with NBC. They claim they're trying to turn Conrad Murray into a celebrity. The network has plans to air a documentary tomorrow night on MSNBC about Conrad Murray. This is a documentary he made while waiting for his involuntary man's laughter trial to begin. I like calling it man's laughter.
Man's laughter.
Because it just makes it sound nicer.
It does.
Than the manslaughter. This comes from Michael's estate, as I mentioned, and they say Michael Jackson and the Doctor, A Fatal Friendship, which is the title of the documentary,
wow,
allows Dr. Murray to make his case that Michael was to blame for his own death. Michael's lawyers are demanding that the documentary does not air ever. Well, that sounds like censorship. It's sort of unnecessary. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but NBC says at this point they have no plans to alter their programming.
I hope not.
Anybody watch America's Got Talent? Everybody watch that show?
No.
No.
I tune in from time to time because there are some remarkable people on that show who show up with various kinds of talents. And that's one of the cool things is it's not like an American Idol or an X Factor where it's just singing. You see magicians and you see tumbling acts and dancers and singers, everything. Piers Morgan has announced he will no longer be one of the judges on that show. He is leaving so he can focus solely on his CNN show, Piers Morgan Tonight. So it'll be Howie Mandel, Sharon Osbourne, and a judge to be remained nameless at this point.
Come on, Hoff.
Oh, bring the Hoff back. Bring back the Hoff. Or bring back someone who can host the show other than Nick Cannon. That might be a good move, too.
Might help.
More television news. You knew this was a matter of time. The Maury Povich Show has reportedly reached out to Justin Bieber's people about revealing the results of his paternity test with Mariah Yeager on the show.
Love it.
Oh, please do it.
Would it get any better than that to have Mo sitting there saying, you are not the father?
I don't know if you guys have watched that show, but it's great. Sometimes they have like 10 guys and they go through every one of them.
I think maybe Dr. Drew should offer up Life Changers and have Justin come on that show and announce whether he's a daddy or not.
I like it.
I agree. Kevin, you missed our new fascination with Dr. Drew's Life Changers, but we started getting into it this week while you were gone.
I heard he was becoming a judge show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Judge Drudy. Right.
Awesome.
It's very Springer-esque, the program now.
Awesome.
Very Springer-esque.
Love it.
He had on Courtney Stodden, that obnoxious 17-year-old who's married to the 51-year-old. And they did a live sonogram breast exam to see whether she had implants or not live on the stage.
Why?
Because people say she had boob implants and she wanted to prove that she didn't. So was there with a guy with a sonogram and they were doing the had a sheet over her and the guy, her husband, was standing there. It was such a freak show.
He's on the right path.
How dare you?
He's become a Jerry. He's not on the right path. He's on the wrong path. He's going to the dark side.
Are you kidding me?
900 pound women on who get paid by guys to eat.
Love it.
No, Kevin, you were part of the problem.
I love it.
But Dr. Drew at one point could have been the Surgeon General of the United States. He's as respected in the medical field as you can be.
Now he's entertaining me.
How dare you?
How dare you indeed. Let's talk about showbiz birthdays. Russell Johnson, he was the professor on Gilligan's Island all those years ago. 87 years old today. I think he's the last remaining cast member.
No, there are three of them still alive. Four dead, three alive. Marianne is still alive.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And Ginger
yeah.
is still alive.
And Tina Louise, too.
Yeah. How quickly did B have that?
I don't know what I was
right
thinking.
Right at his fingertips.
Well, the professor is my neighbor, too, remember. He does live on the island next to
mine. I did not
know
that. You're on an island with the professor?
No, he's on the next island over.
Oh.
There are dozens of islands in the Puget Sound. He lives on the next island over.
You should move. You got to be on the island where the professor is on the island. Then you become Gilligan. Then you're Gilligan. You wear the goofy white floppy hat, and you just sleep in a hammock, and suddenly you're Gilligan. How many guys can be Gilligan?
Not many.
Not many. That's all I'm saying. Sinbad, the comedian? He's 55 years old. Michael Jai White. Actor, very talented, 47 years old. Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock is 43. Warren G. is 41. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 42. Jim Atkins of Jimmy Eat World is 36 years old. And I want to make a quick correction. The U.S. Marine Corps, we talked about their anniversary today. They are 236 years old today, not 235. Got some upset emails from some members of the Corps.
Lisa was holding up a sign that said 236.
Yes, I know. She was trying to get me to correct myself, but I just couldn't.
Damn it.
Just couldn't do it.
Foiled
right.
Again.
236 years ago, the Marine Corps was founded, and we appreciate it and thank you for your service. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Thanks for tuning in. It's a longtime dream for the president, Dana White, from the UFC, to get his fights on actual, real, live, network-free television. And that's going to be happening this Saturday night. We'll talk to Dana coming up later on today's show. Plus, we've got more tickets for you to be on the red carpet world premiere with the stars of the new Twilight film. Those tickets for you in less than an hour.
Life is very confusing for somebody like me. I pay very little attention to the news. The last thing I heard was that President Obama was elected. I got that.
Okay.
And then right after that, I got, hey, we're not going to hassle medical marijuana dispensaries.
I recall that as well.
And then he had his attorney general come out and say, we're not going to hassle them. Now what's happening?
They're hassling them.
What?
And just in the last couple of months.
What changed?
Well, I don't know.
That was good news.
That is a good question.
We thought it was a step in the right direction in California, but apparently our laws are at odds with the federal laws, and it is confusing. And really, the victims here are the people who benefit from a medical marijuana prescription, the people who use that and need that to feel better. So we wanted to find out more of what's going on with the fight and what people can expect if they're going down to get their pot today. So we asked for a spokesperson from NORML. That's a national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. They've been around for decades and decades and decades doing great work. Alan St. Pierre joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Alan. How are you, man?
Good day.
good day.
So we're not the only ones confused here, right? I would imagine you get your head scratching a lot over there trying to figure out what's legal today versus what was legal yesterday, right?
That would be correct. We certainly can figure out when something's going on with the feds because our portable phones just light up white hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the last couple of weeks have been pretty amazing.
Now, am I mistaken when, in my memory, that President Obama said, we are not going to hassle if it's legal, we're not going to hassle them, even though the federal law is... And then the Attorney General said the same thing. Am I remembering that correctly?
In fact, on October 19th, 2009, there was something put out by the Department of Justice, which we call the Ogden Memo. It's the name of the guy that wrote it.
Okay.
And, yeah, it basically waved a big green flag to all the states that said, you know, we would like to move forward with medical marijuana, including regulating and taxing it, but the federal government had been so recalcitrant for so long. During the Democratic primaries of that year, which Obama, of course, won, all of the Democratic candidates were in favor of some degree of modifying medical marijuana laws. Only Ron Paul from the Republican side was in favor of it at the time. And so, yes, Obama came into office and, to his credit, actually did tweak the system a little bit, at least at the beginning.
Right. And then
what happened? Like, what's the pressure he's getting from some other side to change what he essentially ran on?
If I had to place it to where's the Rubicon, where's the reefer Rubicon that they weren't willing to go over, I go back to Oakland of last year around mid-January, where the city of Oakland itself, the city, the mayor, passed laws saying that 6 or 7 acres of land could be ceded over to what we call ganjapreneurs, who were going to give a couple $100,000 a year to the government to effectively grow very large amounts of marijuana on that government-ceded property. Well, the city attorney...
But wait, let me just back up. Yeah. That was all legally, and it was for legal marijuana dispensaries.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the city government put its stamp of approval on it in all the ways that city governments do when they want something to actually be the law.
Right.
So, the city attorney said, whoa, I can't sign this thing, and basically sent it over to the federal government attorney, who said, no, that is going too far. You cannot allow the massive production of marijuana with the state or the city getting involved in the process. Now, having said that, the state of Colorado has a medical marijuana law enforcement division that is collecting millions of dollars in taxes. Men and women walk around with guns on into dispensaries, making sure that the marijuana is sold correctly, that
right.
the medibles are made correctly. Yeah, so Colorado...
But California doesn't need that money because we're set. I mean, as far as the state...
California is loaded, right. They don't need the extra revenue, right.
We're flush.
Yeah, so what seems to have really drawn the ire of the federal government is the fact that California doesn't have that regulatory scheme and taxation at the state level, and it's just really opened up this bizarre series of incursions from these four or five... California-based attorneys for the federal government.
Now, when I heard, the last story I heard was those four or five attorneys for the federal government in California sent out letters saying, cease and desist, 45 days, we're going to take your property, and we're going to put you in jail.
They not only did that, they also went after clubs that they think are too close to federally funded schools or other, like, daycare centers. They're even going after your industry, the media industry, the city papers and radio stations.
How do they know we sell weed?
I don't think that's what Alan is saying.
Never mind.
No. Don't spring it yet. But to the point of the government, though, frankly, the federal government thinks that if, for example, your station were to advertise a dispensary or a testing center or even doctors who are engaged in medical marijuana, that, in their minds, is selling medical marijuana.
Now, didn't some members of the House write a letter a couple of weeks ago protesting this?
Yes, this has caught the attention of both Republican and Democratic members of the House who have told the Obama administration, hey, wait a minute, let's go back to 2009 and that Ogden memo.
And what about all of that?
Right, exactly. So, Alan, this is the voice of Alan St. Pierre on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is executive director of NORML, the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. Let me ask you two bigger picture questions. One is, what is the rule in this country of state laws versus federal laws? Is there even something that has nothing to do with marijuana going on here that you're not allowed to have a state law that is in violation of a federal law? Is that part of what's happening here?
Yes, if you strip away the uber hysterical politics of marijuana, you're getting right to one of the oldest questions of this country. And of course, let's remind everybody, we live in the United States of America.
Right.
The states have the 9th and 10th Amendments, which allow them to have a greater autonomy to, if you will, provide greater freedoms and liberties and privileges to citizens. And
but
so,
it doesn't work out that way, right?
Well, that's definitely the rub here. We've gone to the Supreme Court twice on this issue, in 2002 and 2005, and lost in both cases. But ironically, since losing in 2005, the industry went from having 400 dispensaries to 2,300 in the United States. So I asked the question, what did we lose?
And the other part of that, the other half of that question is the government decides which ones of these states' rights they're going to go for. For instance, you can openly carry a weapon in some states. You can't in other states. But the government isn't cracking down on the states that choose to allow that privilege to their citizens. What's the distinction here? Why are they so rabid about marijuana and not about so many other things?
Well, very good point that they are being very subjective about going after this particular what they view as a violation of federal law. But they also just look to California. This is where 1 out of 8 Americans live. It's the 4th or 5th largest economy in the world. And it scares Washington to see California on the brink of legalization, which, of course, it is.
Well, they're doing a good job. Without legalization, no one can get weed. So.
Yeah. So that's been effective.
Well, that's good.
All right. We're in our remaining moments, sir. Any advice you have for our listeners or a place they should go for more information or anything that you would like to see them do to try to set this right?
Sure. If they don't want to see another 74 years of marijuana prohibition, they should join any one of their local normal chapters in California, certainly in the Los Angeles basin. But there are dozens of groups involved with marijuana law reform, and all someone needs to do is simply be involved.
But I would suggest you be involved and you talk to the spokesperson. Like Alan sounds like a smart individual. Some of the spokespeople don't do their cause justice.
You want to join our group? You go, nope, I'm gonna go with normal. Thank you.
Well, I've done about 20,000 radio shows since 1991 here for Normal on Marijuana, and I can tell you my toes have curled during those lovely call-ins from the questioners.
Now, Normal, by the way, is spelled N-O-R-M-L. There's no A.
So, that's right. We're too stoned to know that there's an A in it.
That's correct.
Yeah, that was an oversight, I'm sure. Normal.org is the website. Alan St. Pierre has been our guest here on the Kevin Reed Show. Hey, keep in touch with us. We really are interested in this topic. We want to see what happens next. Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you. Have a very helpful day.
Yes.
Let's talk about virgins for a moment.
I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight.
That's our friend Nick, the window licker, who we haven't talked to lately because he's been so busy working on his 10,000 word.
I'm not talking to you guys.
His 10,000 word screenplay, but Nick.
Nick 2.0.
At one time, Ralph, refresh my memory because I did not remember this, was cast in an MTV show about virginity, right?
Yeah.
Yep, he was.
It was about virgins who haven't lost their virginity yet. And you guys can't talk about it. I don't want anybody talking
right.
about
he
it.
He told us you can't say anything about it on the air.
Yeah, and then we had him on the air, Kevin, and the first question you asked was, hey, what's going on with that MTV show?
Hey, I told you you can't talk about
that. He should know
that.
Better than to tell me something like that.
I miss Nick.
I miss Nick, too, by the way. And how old was he when he finally decided to make the trip south of the border in more ways than one and lose his virginity to a Tijuana hooker?
Not more special than losing your virginity to a Tijuana hooker.
Was he like 27?
I'd rather stay a virgin,
me
I think.
Too.
I think at the end of that, he wished
he had
rather
sex with a Tijuana hooker, and then he said, I'm over it.
Yeah.
That was it for sex for life.
Just got that out of the way.
Yeah.
That sex thing.
It's got to be very difficult. Look, everybody, at a certain age, you start hearing about sex, and everybody else is having sex, and you haven't yet. And I can't remember this far back. You know how my memory is. But I would imagine that that's all you think about for a while is, all right, when is it my turn? And then you get to be 20, and then you get to be 23, and then you get to be 28. And some of these people on this new TLC show that's debuting in a couple of weeks called Virgin Diaries are into their 40s, guys.
Yeah, I can't believe that could happen. Well, when you look at, there really is somebody for everybody, and I see all kinds of odd couplings out there. I mean, people, I know it's hard if you're not especially attractive or whatever, but there's all kinds of unattractive people that are having all kinds of sex.
Yeah.
It must be a social development issue more than a physical thing.
I was going to say, I imagine at some point you get so freaked out by it that then it gets in your head and you just start going, wow, I just am not never going to be able to do this. But let's differentiate this from religious ideas, right? I mean, if your religion says don't have sex until you're married.
Right.
Well, that's different.
And you're saying I'm saving myself. Right. That's your conscious choice.
But this is actually, look, I'm down. I'm up for it. I'm ready to go. And yet I'm...
Are you down or are you up?
Both.
Ideally both in the course of the evening.
I'm 32 and I'm still haven't, and it still hasn't happened. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Well, there's nothing... It just gets so much more difficult the older you get.
Oh, absolutely.
I beg to differ. I think at that point there would be no... material, there'd be no sort of substance that could keep me from having sex. You could wall me up in steel, and somehow I would drill through it. There'd
but
be,
your confidence
there'd be nothing that would stop me.
Somehow you would drill through. No. But see, Ralph, you're different because your confidence level was not that low ever.
Listen, the guy was trapped by a boulder in a crevasse in Utah, okay?
Yeah.
He cut his arm off to get out.
Yeah, that happened.
Where there's a will, there's a way. I'm just saying.
But can you put yourself in the mindset, Ralph, of somebody who's not as confident, hasn't had your experiences, who has never had any luck with the ladies, has nervous flop sweat happens if he talks to a girl and he's envisioning, oh, my God, what if I ever do get in a situation to have sex? I'm going to be terrible at it and she's going to laugh and
but
I'm fat.
You, I mean, all of those things. Way, aren't you at a party someplace where there's a something. Girl who's... who's just as desperate or just she just wants to have sex. I mean, aren't you someplace where that happens once?
That's what I'm thinking. I did, but it boggles my mind, this story.
All right, first of all, we're going to take your phone calls. We're looking for, you want to have sex. You are, what age should we cut it off at? You've got to be at least what? 30?
Oh, 25? We're looking for the oldest, but I would imagine.
Over 25?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Let's say over 25. Because I'm sure that it's got to be something like 90% of people who want to have sex by the time they're 25 have, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Find out what it's like. You don't have to use your real name if you don't want. Here's an example of a guy who's on the Virgin show that we were talking about debuting on TLC. His name is Kerry. He's a 35-year-old mortgage analyst. Lives the life of a bachelor with a successful career, condo, and great friends. Although Kerry appreciates his stress-free lifestyle, there's one thing he's never had, and that's a girlfriend. It's mostly due to his lack of initiative and maybe some bad luck. It's been 2 years since Kerry's last kiss. He's never made it past a first date. He wants to find the right woman to build a relationship with, but his inability to pick up women is a problem.
See, but that's all in his head. Like, he needs to find the perfect woman. You don't... If you haven't had sex yet, you're not looking for the perfect woman. No. You're looking for a female.
You're not looking for Miss Right. You're looking for Miss Right Now.
Yes.
But maybe Kerry is a zero. Maybe he is dead.
I know plenty of zeros who are getting laid. Plenty of them.
There are zero women out there as well as zero men. There are zeros of both sexes. Let's be honest. Happens.
We've had ladies on the show. I think we did a phone topic a while back where we talked about reasons, all the reasons that women have sex that don't involve lust. And one of them was, I feel sorry for the guy. Remember we had that girl
who
said he was a virgin and I just wanted to, you know, show him a good time because he was at a certain age and I thought I'd be doing him a favor. Yeah. You're right. There are situations like that. Kerry needs to be one of those nice ladies, right?
Well, it's just crazy that he's, what did you say, 35?
35. 35 years old.
That's insane.
And if you're 35 and you're making a good living... You don't have to go to Tijuana and get some diseased hooker. You can find yourself a nice, attractive escort who will come to your house and give you the GFE, as we call it.
The girlfriend experience.
Oh, I see.
Because that's what champions do.
That's right, what champions do, exactly.
So 1-800-520-1067. Do we want to go to Richie right now or have him hold on and start with the break?
I'm going to verbally abuse Richie right now.
By the way, we can do guys and girls, too, because for girls, it should be easier.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. So if you are a 25-plus-year-old virgin and you have wanted to have sex but it hasn't happened, we want to find out why, and we want to find out if it's difficult for you, if that makes your life tough when everybody else is doing it and you're not, like our man Richie, who joins us on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, dude, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
It's not going pretty good, first of all.
Yeah. What's going anti-good, actually, for you?
Richie, you've heard our discussion. What do you think as you're listening on the radio? What have you been screaming back at us in your car?
You know, I've just been listening pretty curious. I'm 27 years old, and I'm not as concerned with it as you guys would think. I mean, I've never really been in a situation where it happened, and I'm not really too stressed about it yet. Maybe when I hit, you know, 35, 40, I'll start sweating bullets, but...
You're not going to sweat bullets till you're 40?
You'll be sweating something else when you're 40 if you don't get some.
27? What 27-year-old?
Maybe he has no sex drive.
Do you have a sex drive, Richie? I mean, are you attracted
to... Do you get horny?
Women or men?
Absolutely, to women, but I mean, I just feel that social awkwardness that you guys were kind of talking
about.
So
what? You can drill right through that.
It's more than social
Find
awkwardness.
Find an equally awkward girl, and you two can be awkward together.
Right.
I guess you're right. I guess they need to go find where all the awkward girls hang out, the awkward bar or something.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, yes, stop by the awkward bar. It's a great place.
Yeah,
I recommend it. But you're 27 years old. Stop calling yourself Richie, first of all. You're 27.
If you become Rich.
Rick. If you become Rick at 27, then all of a sudden it's game on. But Richie at 27.
Go with Rich.
It's not worth
Women
it.
Love, you know, money.
Money.
Hot and cold running chicks if he just changes it. All right, Richie, I can't believe I'm about to ask a dude this question, but it is relevant to the conversation that we're having. You masturbate all the time, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
So maybe one of the five times a day that you're doing that, you might think, hey, I'll put this down and step outside and find a woman.
Just right outside his apartment?
It crosses the mind, definitely.
Yeah. In the day and age of the internet, too, there's no excuse. You can go on dating services. They have dating services for people who just want to hook up, who don't even want a relationship. They just want to have casual sex.
All of Craigslist.
Yeah, Craigslist.
That's kind of dirty, though, it seems.
Who cares?
Oh,
that's why it's great.
I'm on Craigslist.
The dirtier, the better. Richie, the point... See, here's the point, is that you're past just having sex. Now you want it to be the best and the most important person ever. You're never going to get there. You're never going to get there.
None of us would lose our virginity if those were our criteria.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Because no woman will have you that is perfect for you if you're that socially awkward.
You're at bat, and for the first time you've ever swung a bat, and someone's going to pitch you a fastball, and you have to knock it out of the park, or else you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to play baseball.
All right.
Just go. Just bunt.
Yeah.
Just
Look,
get on base.
The best baseball players of all time still strike out a lot. Okay? There's no shame in that, my friend. All right, Rich. We're going to start calling you Rich. Thank
all
you
right,
very
Rick.
Much for the call. Keep in touch. All right, dude?
Hey, let us
all
know
right.
when it happens.
All right, Rico.
1-800-520-1067. You are like our man Rich. You'd like to lose your virginity, male or female, but it just hasn't happened yet. What's going on? Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. Also, Friday means the movie beat. Cousin Sal's got something to say about the weekend's football games. We got our final pairs of tickets for the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn. And actor Michael Kenneth Williams will be here. Why is that awesome? Don't recognize the name? He was Omar on The Wire. He is Chalky on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Chalky.
He's awesome.
He's going to be joining us in studio tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean
we
Show.
We might need the creepy filter for Bean. He's too excited about this.
Mm-hmm. The guy's a phenomenal actor.
I know.
You're phenomenal actor.
You're Chalky. I'm Stiffy.
First, though, speaking of Stiffies, we're talking about virgins. We're talking about a new show debuting on TLC in a couple of weeks, all about virgins. They're 25 plus. They want to. It's not that they're religious or saving themselves for marriage. They want to have sex, but so far, they have not been able to navigate the dating world to put them in a position to do so. And we were curious what that must be like. How difficult is that? I mean, that's a big part of being in your 20s, certainly, right?
You know what? All of us lose our virginity. None of us are that good socially. We're all awkward and sort of fumbling and finding our way through.
Bean had sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
People, look at that. If Bean could have sex, how do you feel about yourself now?
Look, there are guys doing life in prison for multiple murders who have sex because women want to be with them.
It's not their choice,
Bean
but they're having sex.
Bean had sex on a conference room table.
At work.
How dare you?
At work.
Let's try Marco. He's certainly not. Let's try Marco. Line one. Marco is 25 years old and is kind enough to call. I promise we'll go easy on you, Marco. What's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Marco.
So you're 20. You're 25. I mean, that's not crazy old, but it's certainly older than most people are when they lose their virginity. What's going on with you?
My thing is, I've always had the opportunity to, like, it's not a big thing, but my thing is I'm kind of a germaphobe, so, herpes, if you guys actually know, there's actually a correlation with Alzheimer's disease, and I'm going to be honest, I'm probably going to live for a long time, and I don't want Alzheimer's when I grow up.
Do you have trouble shaking people's hands, and is it that bad?
No, nothing like that.
Are you crazy? Well,
you're afraid that you're going to catch herpes, which will lead to Alzheimer's, so when you're 80, you won't remember anything.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, at this point, you won't have done anything worth remembering, so it doesn't really matter.
You know, but I mean, for that and condoms.
Yeah, I'm sure, Marco. I'm sure you've done the research and you know that millions of people have sex every day and don't contract sexually transmitted diseases. You know that it is possible now, right?
No, absolutely. But it's just
but wait.
One time, I'm not sure.
But hold on. Absolutely, you just said. But then how come?
Then why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you being one of those people who is having disease-free sex? Because it can happen.
You know, you guys make a good point. I think I can get off the air right now, then.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Marco. Appreciate
it's
the call.
It's like not getting in your car and driving because some people have car accidents.
A lot of people have car accidents.
More people have car accidents probably than get herpes.
I don't know if that's true, but...
He said it was I'm speculating now. Marco said it was a germ issue, but he probably just thinks vaginas are icky.
Look,
I bet that's what's going on here.
Sex is a messy business, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you got to man up.
Oh, we're not saying heterosexual either. We're saying just have sex.
Any sex. Someone wrote me an email and said, "If you're I'm gay, do I need to say more?" I was like, "Yes, because gay people F like bunnies."
Yeah, you would think it would be easier.
If I was gay, I'd be having sex right now on the air if I was gay.
With whoever was in the room.
That's right.
Let's try Ryan. Ryan is 29 years old, just lost his virginity last month,
Ryan,
ladies and gentlemen.
Ryan!
Ryan, congratulations, dude. What took so long?
You know what? I was always kind of the fat, awkward kid in school, and... you know, when all my friends were getting girlfriends and stuff, just no one was interested in me at all. So
right.
Was,
but then,
it was always tough.
But now you're 29 years old. How did you make it through all of your 20s without accidentally having sex with a woman?
Kevin believes that at a party you should fall into someone or something.
Sometimes that happens.
Well, it never happened to me, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had options. I've had, girlfriends that have... you know, wanted to help me out in respect.
Right?
You know, but...
wait, you said no?
Yes.
Why?
In fact,
why?
I called in a while back about a camp nurse coming on to me a long time ago.
But wait!
And I turned her down. So.
Why would you say no to somebody?
You're a fat kid and a chick wants to take your virginity. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. Dude, it's a lot of hang-ups, man. I don't know. Maybe you guys haven't felt the same...
Social awkwardness, but I
feel for all these guys that are calling in.
I do, too.
All right, let me stop you right there, Ryan.
Ralph, weren't you a
fat, awkward kid at one point in your life, Ralph?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
Yeah, that's what I've heard you say before, yet you managed to just box your way out of that, right?
Yeah, but Ralph, you're damn charismatic, so...
Yeah, Ralph, you're damn charismatic.
Hey, Ryan, you looking for your second time around? You have to look for it?
Now, wait, look, so it didn't happen until 3 weeks ago. What changed 3 weeks ago?
Wow. Okay. Actually, I was on a cruise ship.
And the motion of the ocean, my friend.
Right.
And you're on a cruise ship, yes.
And you know, this gal comes up and says,
"Hey, you want to check out my porthole?"
Yeah.
All right.
Something to that effect.
Hold on, Ryan. So it was all her coming on to you?
I wouldn't say all. I mean, I was absolutely interested. She's an awesome woman. Actually, we're still in contact.
All right.
But she lives in Maryland, so...
Even better!
Move!
if you're just trying to have sex...
No, he likes her, though.
No,
which is fine.
I'm not just trying to have sex. I also want that relationship. I guess I'm somewhat of a hopeless romantic as well, so...
I don't buy that hopeless romantic thing.
I do. Some guys are sappy that way. That's fine.
A lot of guys are sappy that way, but they still can figure out a way to have sex before they're 30.
And by the way, Ryan, I'm going to tell you, we've only known you for 3 minutes, but personality is not a problem that you can point to. You're fine.
Yeah,
I mean, listen,
like
we can tell from talking to you that you're a smart guy, you're a funny guy, you're an articulate guy. It's all in your head. Whatever you think is holding your back isn't. Hey, how was the sex, by the way? Was it what you expected after waiting 29 years?
It was pretty darn amazing, I got to say.
Yeah.
Now,
good for you.
How many times since then?
Well, none.
She's in Maryland, Kevin.
She's in Maryland.
I didn't know if you did it twice or three times.
Next week, so.
Okay. All right. There you go.
She is going to man the lifeboats again.
She's going to be in for some trouble.
Hands on deck.
Well, hey, guys, one last thing. Hey, I'm the guy who made you guys t-shirts last year for Miss Double December. I'll shoot you guys an email and see if you guys want some more.
All right. We don't remember that at all, but we're glad you called, Ryan. Thank you so much, and welcome to manhood, my friend.
Thank you.
Do it again before the next 29 years.
Everybody on the poop deck.
I don't think that. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now to you if you are a Twilight fan. 1-800-520-1067. As you know, Breaking Dawn Part 1 is coming out a week from tomorrow, but you get to see it on Monday at LA Live with the stars on the red carpet. How about that? We're going to play a new round of Lick Lisa, one of our favorite games. 1-800-520-1067. If you're a Twilight fan, call now. We'll get to you in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Is it Lick Lisa, the Twilight edition?
It certainly is.
Oh. I mean, her skin will turn like diamonds.
That's right. In the sunlight.
Oh, it'll be awesome.
I hope so.
While we're talking about movies, it's been a banner week for craptastic movie ideas. We talked about Where's Waldo the movie.
Oh, good.
We talked about Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego the movie.
From the same people as Where's Waldo? Sounds terrible.
It should be.
They're using the same script, though, right?
Yeah. Universal announced yesterday Asteroids, the movie, based on the Atari video game Asteroids.
What?
Which you may remember it was a triangle spinning around shooting dots at rocks.
Shooting rocks, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you could make it a space movie. I mean,
yeah.
I guess. That's weird.
Apparently, the premise is two estranged brothers who must reunite to save the world from an alien race. Asteroids.
Come again?
For the people who brought you Battleship.
USA! USA! USA!
Where is Battleship? I feel like we've been hearing about that movie for years.
Oh, it's coming.
Pete, have you seen the trailer? It's all about aliens.
Yeah, aliens.
Battleship is?
Yes. Aliens who sink your battleship.
Okay.
You know, the armies are out there, the navies are out there, and these aliens are coming up out of the water.
Yes. And the guy who is the captain of the ship is dating the admiral's daughter, and the admiral doesn't like him, and he's got to prove his worth by taking on the aliens. It just looks like a cluster F of mythic proportions.
It really is just a lot of different ideas.
You cannot believe when you watch the trailer that it's not a parody of something. Spectacular. And this is the guy, Ron Meyer, by the way, runs Universal recently, was at a college and said, we make a lot of S movies at Universal.
Why would he?
And I'm really embarrassed by that.
What?
And then he's the guy who greenlit Battleship, by the way.
Who has more say over that than him? Why does he change it?
Nobody. Stop making SE movies then.
But he's also the guy who loses, you know, his job if they don't continue to make record profits every quarter. And these movies probably make money.
Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't make your money and then go to colleges and say, oh, I wish, you know, we made more artistic films. Like Flight 93, he brought up. And he said Wolfman was one of the worst movies ever made. And Babe 2. He singled out certain films. I said, yeah, but you're also the guy who greenlit Battleship, so stop it.
You don't get
make your money or make your art. Either way, shut the hell up about it. While we're talking about movies, Brett Ratner stepped down from the job of producing the Oscars beginning of next year, but Eddie Murphy, it was assumed, would still be host. Well, that ended yesterday. He resigned from his position of host of the Academy Awards, saying that he was no longer interested in participating.
You guys see Tower Heist?
I did not.
Yeah.
We saw the trailer, so that meant we didn't have to go see the movie.
All the jokes were in the trailer.
I heard he was in the trailer more than he was in the movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
But he was funny, but
he's
maybe they
funny.
You know what? Maybe they got what they wanted. They got their publicity.
Right.
Now the movie
didn't really
came
help.
Out.
Didn't do so well.
Maybe not,
office.
But so then they went, oh, forget it now.
Well, Ratner was suggested that he leave.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he dropped the F-bomb when it comes to gays. The gay slur starts with an F.
And ends with C-K?
No. Ends with a G.
No, I'm not.
How G-S. Is the one that ends in C-K a gay slur? Come on, try to keep
I'm
up.
I'm unclear.
He said rehearsal was for
Fs. Okay.
And it turns out, I don't know if you know this or not, but there are some homosexuals who work in Hollywood.
What?
Yeah. And they were not pleased with his use of that derogatory term, which they consider, and rightly so, a significant slam.
Yeah.
So he was relieved of his duties. But at least they thought they had a host. And then Eddie said, no, I'm not interested in doing it without Brett Ratner. So now they got no host, and they got no producer, and it's right around the corner.
But they may have saved themselves with Eddie not doing it.
Actually, I think they saved themselves with Brett Ratner not doing
it. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, Brian Grazer has stepped up, and he has filled the void. He will now be the producer of the Oscars, and I think that's a good win-win for everybody. They're also, apparently, rumor has it, talking to Billy Crystal, perhaps, about returning. So
considered the best.
I hope they get Joe Paterno, now that he's available.
Oh, come on!
A good choice.
And we were just talking about Twilight, so real quickly, Taylor Lautner in the news did an interview this week.
He's the singing dog from the movie?
He's the singing dog.
He's the singing dog.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He said, I'm looking forward to pursuing new roles that don't require me to go shirtless. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I think that's what you got, son. You better hold on. You better just stay in the gym and work out as long as possible. Because if you're going to start talking and keeping your shirt on, you're opening yourself to a whole world of hurt.
I don't understand that. If you look good without a shirt, you should look
because he's an artist, man. He wants to offer more than that.
You should look for roles only where you
he's
take
an
your shirt
actor.
Off. Oh, please.
He wants to play Gandhi. He wants to play young Gandhi.
With his shirt off?
No. Oh. Yeah. But go back and watch Abduction again, Taylor, and then let us know how you're going to be an actor.
Not if I find you first. I'm going to find you people, and then you're all in big trouble. I'm going to put this young lady and she and I will be on a motorcycle, and then we'll come get you.
Action star ever. Today's celebrity birthdays, really quickly. Russell Johnson from Gilligan's Island is 87 years old today. Michael Jai White, 47 years old. Tracy Morgan is 43. Ellen Pompeo of Grey's Anatomy is 42. Warren G celebrates. I don't think Ellen Pompeo is a Chewbacca.
Dude, she's pretty beat up.
Bean's been giving it to her the whole morning. I don't think
something's wrong with her. Something's wrong with her.
I don't think so either.
She's never been that pretty.
She's definitely not pretty.
She's fine. I don't know that she's Chewbacca.
No way.
She's close, dude.
No, not even.
Do you even know who it is?
Of course I do.
Do you know who Chewbacca is?
Yes.
There's an identification problem here.
I never get to ask that question, so I just thought I'd throw it in.
Warren G's 41. Rapper Eve is 33 years old today. Jim Atkins of Jimmy Eat World is 36. And the U.S. Marine Corps, Semper Fi, fellas, is 236 years old today. We thank you for your service. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. When did we talk to Dana White? When do we do that?
About a half hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking to the president about a half an hour from right now.
Right.
Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1 is going to be in theaters on Friday, November 18th. You get a chance to see it 4 days early on the red carpet with the stars. If you call right now and play a little game we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa?
Yeah.
I think you'll find it's hard.
That's what she said.
But if you do lick Lisa... something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, so many stupid rules. I hate
this area right here. Just this area.
All right. We have intern Danny in studio with us now, who has not only never played Lick Lisa, she's never heard Lick Lisa. She has no idea what's about to happen here. But the way the game is played, Danny, is that I'm going to be asking questions here that are Twilight related. It's the Lick Lisa Twilight edition.
Sort of. It's a jumping off point, Twilight.
The answer that we're looking for from Lisa is always going to be a number. Then the caller on the phone just has to say whether they think that number is right on or if the correct answer is higher or lower. If they're right, that means they've licked Lisa. They go into the drawing to join us Monday at the Red Carpet World Premiere. And they also lick Lisa, which you literally get to or have to do, depending on how you want to look at it.
So I think she wants to.
She does have that want to.
I woke up this morning.
Yep. In her eyes a little bit here. And there's nothing better than watching girls licking girls as part of my daily job. So I'm very excited about that. All right, we ready to play?
We are. Let's start with Angie. Hi, Angie.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show and Lick Lisa, the Twilight Edition.
Angie, here's your question. Listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Stephanie Meyer, the author of the books, creator of the Twilight Universe, set her story in the real-life town of Forks, Washington, on the beautiful Olympic Peninsula. Forks is known as the logging capital of the world, one of the rainiest cities in America with more than 100 inches of rain annually, and the Forks High School football team is called the Spartans. Lisa, your question. How many feet tall is the world's largest fork in Springfield, Missouri?
World's largest fork.
30 feet tall.
30 feet tall. All right. Angie, is that exactly right, or is the real answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go with higher.
Yes. Congratulations. 35 feet tall, though. An excellent guess, Lisa May. Very close. Yeah. All right. So Angie is in the draw. She hasn't won the tickets yet. We can only give away two pair here this time.
Sorry. She licked me. No. She licked me.
Yeah, she did.
She did lick you.
Yes.
All right.
She licked you.
Where's my lick?
Danny, let's lick.
Danny, where's the lick?
Hey, boy.
Wow.
That is the whole reason we
do
the bit.
Do you have any preferences? Oh, okay.
Yes, she does.
Just anywhere.
Yes.
I'm easy.
Just anywhere. Come on, arm. Oh, come on. Boo.
All right. It's a warm-up lick.
Let's do it again.
All right.
It's been a while since we played.
Get ready, Danny, for God's sakes. Let's go to Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you ready for Lick Lisa?
There you go.
Here's your question. Lisa answers first. The success of the Twilight movies in the past few years has had a notable influence on the list of America's most popular baby names. Jacob was always a popular name, but Edward has now shot up the list, as has the name Cullen for boys, believe it or not, and Bella for girls, after Kristen Stewart's character in the Twilight movies, Bella Swan. Your question, Lisa, how many species of swans exist?
Oh, good.
I'm going to say 25.
25 species. Jamie, is that correct, or is the real answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say lower.
Yes, you have licked Lisa. Congratulations. There are 7 species of swan: the whooper, the trumpeter, the tundra, the mute, the black neck, the black, and the Costa croba. So congratulations. Danny, time to lick Lisa.
All right, go for the neck. Okay.
There we go.
Sort of neck, now it's sort of now a, it's turning into foreplay.
She's
I like it.
In.
That was almost clavicle. Good work. All right, let's go to Tara. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Once again, all chicks calling in for Twilight tickets, as has been the case every single day this week. Fans of the Edward and Bella love story are going berserk, waiting to see the happy couple get married and consummate their relationship in the movie version of the Breaking Dawn book arriving in theaters next week. The first time they have sex, though, Bella ends up with deep purple bruises all over her body, you know, from doing it with a vampire. Here's your question, Lisa. Speaking of purple things, what was the domestic gross of the 1998 Barney's Great Adventure movie?
Oh, dear God.
Barney's Great Adventure.
Barney's
the Purple Dinosaur had a theatrical movie in 1998 called Barney's Great Adventure. How much money did it make at the box office?
$75 million.
$75 million. Tara, correct or higher or lower?
Lower.
Yes, I'm sorry. The entire run of the film only made $11.1 million.
You're kidding.
Barney is best to stick on television, apparently. Congratulations. You have also licked Lisa, undefeated listeners here today. Lick away, Danny.
All right, Danny.
Make it count.
Where are you going?
Make it count.
I like the neck. You like? Okay, I'm taking requests. I like the neck.
Well, if you're taking requests, I'll make one. All right.
There we go.
Thank you. Let's go to Shauna. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
It's really more of a peck than it is a lick, though.
I agree. She needs to linger.
Very dissatisfied with the licking that's going on
here. You need
here.
To linger a bit.
Inexplicably,
let's
your
get
question.
Another listener to lick Lisa. We'll see what happens.
Inexplicably, both a vampire and a werewolf are in love with and pursuing Bella in the Twilight series. Those on Team Edward argue their man would give up his own eternal life rather than risk Bella's short mortal life, and he doesn't need to sleep so he could better protect her, and the vampires are way better than werewolves. Team Jacob counters that their guy is a much more cheerful and fun partner, doesn't need to regurgitate his food when he eats, and that werewolves are passionate and feral lovemakers. Lisa, your question. Speaking of teams, how many NBA teams are there who won't be playing basketball this year if the season is in fact canceled due to a labor dispute?
Teams in the NBA.
Teams in the NBA. 22?
22. Shauna, is that exactly right, or is the real answer higher or lower?
Oh, my God. Higher?
Yes, there are 30 teams. Well done. You are also in the drawing. Danny, you get to lick. And we only have one more question after this, so make this a good lick.
Make this a good one. Come on, Danny.
Poor Danny.
Come on, Danny! So awkward. Come on!
All right, that was a real lick.
I'm so disappointed.
That was a real lick.
All right.
She is not lesbian enough for us. What's going on in our intern hiring process here?
I don't
here?
Think we demanded that she was a lesbian.
Well, let's change that. All right, let's go to Nettie. Hi, Nettie.
Hi, Nettie.
Hi!
Thank you very much. All right, here's your
question. All right. Final question. Lick Lisa, the Twilight Edition. The Volturi, Lisa, as you know, are the largest coven of vampires in the Twilight universe. They've operated for more than 3,000 years based in the city of Volterra, Italy. They have numerous powers among their members, including reading thoughts, being able to track anyone, and making their victims feel excruciating pain as if they are on fire. Your question, according to the National Fire Protection Agency, what was the direct damage amount in dollars caused by fires in the United States in 2009?
Great question.
Lisa?
Idea. I know.
In other words, how much stuff burned up in America due to fires in 2009?
I just have no idea what the answer would be.
If you were to guess, you would say...
I would say... $50 million
is a dumb guess, Nettie.
I
I'm going to suggest that you go higher, but is it correct, higher or lower?
I would say higher.
Yes.
Oh, higher. You know what? You said it was a dumb guess, Kevin. $50 million, very close to the actual answer. $7.6 billion is what we were looking for there. So it looks like Angie, Jamie, Tara, Shauna, Nettie are all in the drawing. And Jamie, I guess, just joined. Did Jamie just join us? I don't know. Everyone we talked to is in the drawing.
Down. Nettie just joined us.
All right.
Who's going to the thing? You got two winners here, Lisa.
I got Jamie.
Okay, hold on. Let me go to Jamie. Hey, Jamie.
Yes?
Nicely done.
Okay.
You're going to be at the movie. Hold on.
And I have Nettie.
Nettie, congratulations.
Okay. There you go. There she is.
Some kind of a delay going on.
Yeah, thanks to everybody for playing Lick Lisa.
Lick Lisa. Lick, Lick Lisa. But keep clear of her.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. That is the Naked and Famous. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 28 minutes after 8 o'clock.
What a phenomenal tie-in. Speaking of Naked and Famous, if you go to KevinandBean.com or K-Rock.com right now, you can apply to be Miss Double December 2012, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I'm talking about.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, ladies. 21 and up. Complete your submission and send in two photos of yourself. You have until a week from tomorrow to get your entries in. Then we narrow it down to the top 10. Then the K-Rock listeners get to vote. And then we crown a new Miss Double December in Fullerton at the Slide Bar coming up on December 2nd. All those details available for you at KRock.com.
Roland? Yes, it's Roland.
We're talking about Miss Double December. It's the best
Why are you talking about such trivial things when important things are going on in the world?
Listen, we're talking about somebody who's going to represent the Kevin and Bean Show that looks fantastic, that gets to go to all the events. How can you not be interested in
hot chicks with huge boobs?
I read the news, and I know there are important things happening in the world, and you just talk about trivial things that don't affect anyone other than your
What's the most
private part?
What's the most important? The economy? What?
Do you read the news?
Yeah, no.
Are you aware of all the trouble that's going on in the world?
Is this the Paterno thing you want to talk about, or what?
No! Something important.
Something important. Is this...
Australia has announced that they are releasing superhero license plates.
That's it? That's the important thing we're missing?
You're missing the fact that it's Australia and not the United States of America. How much longer will we continue to be number two in this world? When will America take its rightful place back at number one where it belongs?
Do we want to be number one in that category?
They are releasing license plates for your cars that feature Superman, Supergirl, Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and the Green Lantern.
And that's the important story. You
cars
think?
All over Australia will be driving around with Batman, Superman license plates.
Right.
And aren't we don't have them.
Right.
But aren't you, I mean, it's already easy to tell who the geeks are. You don't need to advertise it on your license plate, Roland.
How dare you, first of all. And second of all, we don't have these license plates.
You don't even drive, do you, Roland?
I do drive. Well, I drive Mom's station wagon when she lets me. But the important thing is, if I could, I would put a superhero license plate on that car, and it would make it a supercar.
How is that the most important thing going on right now?
Because it's a travesty. We are losing our national honor. We must step up and become the great superpower we once were.
We were never a
great... No pun intended, superpower.
We were never a great superpower with license plates.
Yes, we were.
We were?
Yes. Oh, live free or die? That's on a license plate.
Well, that's because that's the slogan for New Hampshire, where that plate is available. I mean, that
You've
just ties into the state
government. You've got a friend in Pennsylvania? Well, that was the license
it's pretty
plate?
Pretty strong.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Happy Happens? That was a license plate?
Yeah, that's true.
So I am suggesting the state of California adopt superhero license plates, but not just any superhero license plates. I think all of the plates here should be dedicated to that little loved but much appreciated group of superheroes known as the Legion of Superheroes.
The Legion of Superheroes?
Yes.
Who is that?
That is the group of superheroes in the 31st century that is inspired by the work of Superman, and so they all become superheroes from all the planets around the galaxy.
Okay, and do they all have separate powers?
Yes, some of the best superheroes ever, like Chlorophyll Kid.
Chlorophyll Kid.
Who has the ability to make plants grow super fast.
How does that help anyone?
Oh, what if you're in a jungle and then you run into a creature from another planet? Oh, Chlorophyll Kid makes that plant grow fast around him, and now he can't get to you.
But how often are you in those exact circumstances, Roland? Seriously.
What if you're just in your house and your fern's dying? Then Chlorophyll Kid can come to the rescue.
But that's not as good as The Flash or Superman or the Green Lantern or
Wonder
Woman.
Well, that's why these superheroes need some publicity to let people know how great they are. Everyone knows the other ones.
All right, well, what else? What else
how about
besides
Infectious Lass?
Infectious Lass.
Yes, she's able to spontaneously generate infectious diseases.
Okay.
I think we have that.
We're all thinking the same thing. No one can say it, though. Move on.
How about Porcupine Pete?
Porcupine Pete.
The ability to generate and fire quills from his body at will.
Okay. Look, these are stupid ideas. They're stupid ideas for superheroes.
How about triplicate girl who can turn herself into three separate bodies?
Is she hot?
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, she's hot.
All right. I'll
have that on my license plate. One of herself was killed, so she became duo damsel later on.
Oh, well.
What about Bouncing Boy?
All right, we got to go,
Bouncing
Roland.
Boy has the superpower of super bouncing.
So he can bounce a lot.
How about Matter Eater Lad?
What?
Matter Eater Lad.
So he eats matter.
He can eat any substance known to man.
What's the purpose of that?
What if you're trapped in a building made of stone?
That's never going to happen.
He can eat it. He can eat his way out.
He can eat the whole building.
Roland, we have a very busy show. We're getting ready to talk to the president of the UFC next. We really do have to hang on.
I didn't even get to Arm Fall Off Boy yet.
Arm Fall Off Boy?
Yes, he can take his limbs off.
That one I'm in on.
Good luck with that. This weekend has been long awaited. Ever since the announcement was made that UFC was coming to Fox, we have been looking forward to it, and it is finally here. This Saturday night, heavyweight title fight, Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos. We are always We are always happy to welcome back to the show Dana White, the president of the UFC. Hi, Mr. President. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Before we talk about this weekend, and we couldn't be more excited, Kevin has a little piece of old business he wants to take up with you first, sir.
Uh-oh.
I want to tell you truthfully from my heart, I found this funny. But last time we had you on, we asked you a question, and here's the answer that you gave us. Bones Jones, who is he going to fight? Do you know? Can you announce anything or no?
No, we're working on it. I don't know yet.
Okay, when you said, I don't know yet, I believe that's when you hit the send button on your tweet, which announced the Bones Jones fight.
No, that's not true.
That is true.
It was within minutes.
It was literally, it wasn't even 3 minutes. It was, I'm telling you seriously from my heart, it was funny.
You hung up the phone and then immediately tweeted the answer to the question that you had just told us on the air you didn't know.
That is not true.
You did,
here's the deal.
All right, go ahead.
No. I do not announce stuff like that until it's done. It's signed. It's sealed. They've sent
So they
the
signed it while we were asking the question?
You know, it's funny because after I was on and that happened, I saw everybody tweeting you guys.
Yeah, that was so funny. They were like, oh, he just burned you. And we were like, listen, we find that funny. So,
all right. So before we move on to this weekend, can we trust a word that comes out of your goddamn mouth? Is anything you're about to tell us accurate?
How long have I been coming on this show? One time that happened.
No, that was great.
It was very funny.
I admire you more for it. All right, now, let's talk about the Fox deal. I watched the hour special that you had, I believe it was last Sunday, kind of introducing everybody to the fighters and a little behind-the-scenes stuff. And tell us about the fight that's going to be happening this Sunday.
Yeah.
Saturday.
I apologize.
Yeah. It's Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos for the heavyweight championship. And it's the first time that the UFC has ever been on network television. You know, we went with this fight for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the heavyweight championship. I grew up a huge boxing fan. I used to watch all the fights on ABC's Wide World of Sports, then USA's Tuesday Night Fights. And I wanted to be the promoter that brought big fights, not only back to free television, but back to a lot of these big cities that you know, used to have fights and don't anymore.
Right.
So it's a real big weekend for us.
Now, you're only doing the heavyweight fight on Fox, is that right?
Right. We have a full card, just like we always do. Mm-hmm. So if you bought tickets to the UFC, you really won't notice a big difference. The show is going to roll just like it always does. But, yeah, we're only doing the heavy. David Hill is the guy who runs Fox.
Uh-huh.
And he is a legend in the TV business. This guy has revolutionized from NASCAR to NFL to Major League Baseball. And his thing was, you know what, let's kick this thing off. Because our deal doesn't start till January.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So he's like, let's kick this thing off with this huge event, and let's just do the heavyweight championship. Because when we came up with the fight that we wanted to put on Fox, he was like, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
Heavyweight championship of the world on Fox.
Now, did you tell him at that point, hey, it's probably not going to happen, but either of these guys have knockout power?
Oh, I thought you were busting me again.
No. I'm saying either of these guys have knockout power. What if it does go a half a round?
Yeah, then what?
That can't happen.
I mean,
listen, we put on all the bells and whistles. We can, you know, do this, do that. Once those guys step in there, who knows what's going to happen? That you can't control. So,
right.
Yes, this thing could go 15 seconds. It could go 25 minutes. Who knows? But either way, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, we have other. We'll keep you entertained if it goes
sure.
that quick.
Now, tell us about the rest of the card. Who else is fighting, and how can I see all of the other fights?
Well, the way you see all the other fights is if you buy a ticket down at the Honda Center in Anaheim. But the big fight that everybody's talking about and a lot of our fans are bummed out isn't on TV. But it will be on Facebook or Fox.com is the Ben Henderson-Clay Guida fight.
Right.
Yeah, people are going crazy over that fight. And, you know, a lot of people are bummed out that one's not on TV. But it is what it is. You can go on Facebook and watch them there.
It's got to be so weird for you, Dana, as a guy who has been able to make all the decisions in your sport, do whatever you want, to now kind of have to take a back seat or at least an equal partnership and let somebody else have a say in what gets done. Has that been hard for you to give up a little bit of that power?
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's definitely weird. And like, for instance, last night I was going through all the elements and all the stuff that you do when you produce the show. And yeah, I gotta shoot everything over to them and look at it. And yeah, it's definitely weird. Never happened before in 10 years. So
you said at the press conference yesterday, I think it was down at Staples Center. You said, "I haven't slept. I feel weird. I can't wait for Saturday to be over with. I want to nail this thing. I want to do it right, put it behind me, and move forward." Has this been one of the most tense weeks of your career?
Yeah, without a doubt. I haven't been this nervous, anxious, excited, and every other emotion you can come up with for a show, I don't know, probably ever in the history of us owning the UFC.
But, I mean, look, on paper at least, and certainly anybody that follows the sport knows that both of these guys are unbeaten. I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
Right, and stylistically, this fight's awesome. These guys match up really well. Cain Velasquez, obviously the champion, great wrestler, two-time All-American from ASU, has great hands, too. And can punch. And Junior Dos Santos is a knockout artist who has incredible takedown defense and has never been taken down in the UFC. So it's interesting to see if Cain can take him down or if this is just going to be a stand-up war.
It's crazy to think that any fighter has never been taken down once, and they both fought 10, 11, 12 fights, right?
Yeah, nobody's ever taken Junior Dos Santos down. He stops everybody's shots. Even a good wrestler like Big Country. He fought Big Country, and Big Country didn't even take him down.
Yeah.
Wow. The UFC on Fox is going to premiere this Saturday night at 6 o'clock. That is going to be live on Fox across the country from the Honda Center in Anaheim. Before we let you go, Mr. President, what are you going to be tweeting about in 10 seconds that you might as well just tell us right now before we hang up?
Well, what do you want to know?
And then you'll tell us no. I just wanted to bring up quickly, and I don't really want to promote another fight, but I did see your behind-the-scenes podcast, and you were saying if you're interested in the Manny Pacquiao fight, this in no way conflicts with it. You can watch this fight.
It's actually a great night for fight fans. Last time we went on the same night as Floyd Mayweather. Floyd fought. We did. We were on free TV. We did almost 2 million viewers, and then Floyd did 1.3 million buys. And this is one of those nights, too. On the West Coast, our fight starts at 6 o'clock. We're off by 7, and then Manny Pacquiao comes on an hour later. So, like I said, if you're a fight fan, it's a great night for fight fans. You watch us for free on Fox, then tune in to Manny Pacquiao on pay-per-view.
Wow.
Fantastic. All right, Dana, we wish you nothing but the best this weekend. And have fun. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana. That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:41. Nope.
Come on. We barely mentioned the anniversary of the sinking of the great SS Fitzgerald today.
No.
36 years ago today, 1971. Lake Superior. Oh, come on, with the keyboard shot.
Is there anything you don't know?
It's an annual celebration here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why are you trying to hate on my celebration of the Edmonton?
It's not a celebration. It's a shipwreck no one would know about if you didn't keep it alive, for God's sakes. Nobody cares. Nobody likes the song. It's just a bunch of death in a lake.
90% of Americans care what happened that night.
Oh, that 90%. Is insane.
I just looked it up on the internet.
100% I disagree with that.
I just looked it up as well. The guys in Weezer, they're big fans.
Gordon Lightfoot sang a song about a boat, the tank, and the lake at the break of the morning.
How do you explain that? Rivers Cuomo, he's down with the mystery.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
I'm just saying, a little bit of airtime for 29 dead guys. That's all I'm saying.
Not interested.
All right. You're making a big mistake. We're losing audience members the longer we don't talk about it, but let's move on to some other things.
Not interested.
Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Do you have Halls of Montezuma? Do you have that at your fingertips?
I got the Marine Corps theme, yeah.
Marine Corps theme.
Oh, okay. I thought you was something else.
We've been mentioning it all day. I know we have some Marine Corps listeners who actually download the podcast.
There you go.
They're out there serving the nation, overseas and abroad.
How much better are they than us?
Seriously.
All amounts better. So I thought we'd just give a little shout out. Salute!
I told you maybe I tell this story once a year, but I told you about the guy I came up to at a stoplight who had 11-10-75 on his license plate. He was at the car next to me at the stoplight. And I was so excited because that's the anniversary of the thing in the Edmund Fitzgerald. So I get motion to him to roll down his window. Roll down your window. He rolls down his window. I go, oh, my God, the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's an awesome license plate. He looked at me like I was crazy. He said, it's the anniversary of the founding of the Marine Corps, son.
Yeah, how about
his
that?
His license plate was 1775. Yeah. The event I was talking about was 1975.
Hoorah. Right. But you know why he looked at you like you were crazy?
I don't.
Because you were crazy.
You should have lobbed a grenade in your car. He should have fragged you.
So, lots of historical significance on November 10th.
Yeah. But only one thing that matters, and that's
the Marine Corps.
The Marine Corps,
yes. Founded in a bar, that organization was.
Is that right?
Yep. 236 years ago in a bar in Philadelphia, they got together and they decided to put together the Marine Corps. The last time a good thing happened from a conversation in a bar in Philadelphia, I guarantee you. Usually it becomes violence spilling out into the streets, but congratulations to everybody in the Marine Corps. We thank you for your service. All right, let's talk about show business news. Anybody want the Michael Jackson deathbed? Going once, going twice?
The actual bed?
This is the bed that Michael Jackson died in.
No.
Took his last breath in this bed. Anyone? Going once? Going twice?
Can I look at it with a black light?
You don't want to.
Think about how many juice boxes have been spilled in that bed.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
At least you don't have to worry about stray pubic hairs.
Oh!
I'm just saying.
I don't understand.
I'm sure you don't. Julianne's Auctions is the name of the company that is putting the bed up for auction on December the 17th in Beverly Hills.
Well, sounds sexy.
Not just his bed, but all of his furniture from his temporary home in Los Angeles where he was living while he was rehearsing for the This Is It concert tour will all be going up for auction. Furniture, paintings, sculptures, other bits of decor.
No way!
I'll tell you, that stuff will sell for a fortune, I guarantee you.
Sure, yeah.
The most loving thing to do is to share your bed with someone.
Especially the deathbed.
I don't want the deathbed. I don't want the deathbed.
Got that smell of propofol all over it. Ah, yes. I love the smell of propofol in the morning. Smells like coma. George Clooney lost his virginity at 16. Surprised it wasn't earlier.
No kidding.
It's a good-looking kid. He says he regrets it now. He was simply too young.
He regrets that he lost his virginity that early?
Yeah. Huh. He wished he had waited. He has made up for it since.
Yeah.
By having sex with every beautiful woman on the planet Earth. Look, it's a good thing he started early because he had a lot of work to do. So he needed a head start. Rob Pattinson from the Twilight series says that he became an actor not for the artistic merit of it all, because he really wanted to meet girls.
Finally, perhaps a little honesty.
He says, however, that now that he is the idol of teenage girls everywhere with the Twilight series, that older women are far more intense fans of the series.
Hmm.
He says the girls have, obviously their mania for it, but he said it's the older fans who really are sort of over the top.
Okay.
I mean, he's Coogan. Is he Coog hunting out there?
He may be Coogan.
I'm saying. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian.
Thank you.
Continues to amaze with the stories of her breakup as they get leaked.
Why is she porn star Kim Kardashian?
I've decided that needs to be her media type, because in reality, that's what she's famous for. It's the only thing she's ever really done of any value. She's got all this fame for what? For boning RJ in a sex video.
I'm with you.
So I think we need to start reminding ourselves exactly who she is. So from now on, when I refer to her, she'd be referred to as porn star Kim Kardashian.
Good enough.
She had a fascinating business deal with her marriage, to Chris Humphries. Any personal appearance they did, this is according to In Touch magazine, any personal appearance they did when they showed up in Vegas at these parties, what have you, 90-10 split. for the fees.
She got 90% of it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was
that sounds
part
about
of
right,
the prenup.
By the way, doesn't it?
Not if you're married to someone, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well,
still dividing
if you're married
everything?
To some, if you're married, I mean, look, who is coming to the nightclub to see her husband? No one.
I know, but.
But they're she's husband the draw. And wife.
Prenup.
I think I agree with Bean. She's the draw.
She's the draw.
As much as I hate her.
Okay, well, you go home today, Kevin. You tell your wife that you're the draw on the Kevin and Bean Show. So you're going to get 90% of all the money that comes in from the Kevin and Bean Show, and she'll get 10%.
I don't think that would fly.
See how that goes over.
But I'm just saying.
She was, I mean, she was earning 90% of the money before she met him. I mean, let me put that another way. I'm saying she's earning all the money. So if she's throwing him 10%, he should be happy with that.
You shouldn't be throwing your partner in a marriage any percentage.
Wait, you're saying they were partners in a marriage?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying no.
Maybe this is proof that that was not the case. And Maury Povich's show has announced they've reached out to Justin Bieber's camp, asking them if they can reveal the results of his paternity test on their show.
That'd be awesome. Please, please do it.
That'd be the greatest thing ever.
You are not.
Justin running around the stage,
high-fiving everybody.
Pumping his fist, finger-pointing at Mariah Eaters. Told you! Suck it! You're the best. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Russell Johnson. Professor from Gilligan's Island is 87 years old today. Comedian actor Sinbad is 55. It's almost that season. It's almost that time of year.
Sinbad?
When we all get to hunker down with the family, gather around the TV set, and watch Jingle All the Way with Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That is a classic.
It is a classic. Yeah. Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock is 43 years old today. Actress Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 42 years old.
Now that's a dog.
No, would you stop it?
She's fine.
Rapper Warren.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
Hey, Warren G is 41 years old today. Singer guitarist Jim Atkins of Jimmy Eat World is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rain.
Yeah.
We have Cousin Sal with his NFL picks. We have Michael Kenneth Williams. And we're going to have to do a hand check on Bean. Chalky,
it's not like that. I just Boardwalk an Empire. Admirer of his outstanding acting in The Wire Bean. And Boardwalk Empire.
You're chalky.
He's fantastic.
We have thanks for that tweet, Bean. Sweet. We have Movie Beat, and we have your tickets for the world premiere of Twilight. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.